NASA Jay Sekulow, after another tragic school shooting, how do we respond?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to talk about the situation, that school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, because we need to figure out ways in which to prevent this. And I think I'm going to be talking about, I know I'll be talking about ways to what I think you have to harden the target. When I say harden the target, you got to make the schools less susceptible to these kind of attacks. Now, having said that, we have a personal connection to this school and to the school district. And it's not one that most people probably are going to be remembering, but I actually represented Santa Fe High School and the Santa Fe Independent School District before the Supreme Court of the United States in a case involving prayer at football games back about 12 years ago. And that case went to the Supreme Court of the United States. The court said that the school can't be involved in the prayers themselves, but that students had the right to engage in prayer collectively if they wanted to, in an opinion written by Justice Stevens. The tradition in that town has been that the students continued the prayer activity without the assistance of the school since then, so for over a decade. I think they just, for those on Facebook and Periscope, we just showed you a copy of the brief that we filed in that case. Having said that, we are opening our phone lines because we want your ideas and thoughts. Our thoughts and prayers, of course, with the families, the victims of this, you know, and it's not being trite when you say this. It's just, this is the reality of the world we live in, and we've got to figure out, what do we do on a policy basis, on a legal basis, to prevent this, to prevent these, or make it more difficult for these to be engaged in? I asked Logan before the beginning of this broadcast today what parents, because Logan's, I've got grandkids, and Logan has three kids, and they go to school, and it makes you concerned as a parent, as a grandparent, and I wanted to get the reaction of folks your age too. I mean, and we want everybody's response on how, what ideas you might have that would be helpful here. But Logan, I asked you that because it's something that when you drop our grandson off today, I'm sure everybody's thinking about.
It definitely enters your mind now every time you drop your kid off at school, and it's not a fun thing to think about. You have to just kind of, honestly, you have to kind of forget about it, or you'll drive yourself crazy every day, and not necessarily without warrant. And that's sort of one of the problems. It's not like, you know, if you have a fear of flying, you know, when you go to the airport, you're concerned about going in the air. You know your fear is a little irrational when it comes to the odds. Now, right now, you're starting to see this now with, you know, essentially on average now one a month this year. It starts to get to you as a young parent, and you have to start saying, what's the real option? And some people are posting comments saying, well, you should homeschool your kids and do that. Well, that's not a real option for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to homeschool, but not everybody has that option. Most kids are in school. Yeah, most kids are in public school. Than you've got kids too. I think it's important, you know, like I said, with this, all of these cases are personal because there's tragic loss of life, young life here. I cannot even imagine the anguish that these parents are going through. This one hits even closer only because of my involvement years ago at the Supreme Court of the United States representing this very, I mean, it was when I realized as the news was breaking, I was over in Israel, when the news broke and I realized this was the school I represented. These were high school students that I represented. You know, they're now adults. They're they're almost 30 years old now. But that's what it makes it, you know, it's the reality of this becomes much more tragic. But you've got kids in school, and I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Logan, and that is, how are you reacting to this?
Well, Logan's correct. I mean, it's part of the criteria that every parent now has to think about when they make the decision to school their children. It's just happening too frequently. And Jay, I'll just give you a Washington, D.C. perspective, because it immediately becomes political, and it really shouldn't. I mean, Congress's answer to the last shooting was to improve background checks. Probably a good thing, but Jay, it's not the solution. Ultimately, at least from this parent's perspective, there has to be a hardening of the target so parents like Logan, parents like me, can have confidence that when we drop our kids off at school, we're going to see them later in the day. Jay, I really think that hardening those targets on a local level is the only way you accomplish that.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you've got kids in school, we want to hear from you. If you've got ideas on what we're thinking the policy is, harden the target, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. It goes without saying, our thoughts and prayers with the community as they have graduation. And again, as I said, this is a community that we represented at the Supreme Court of the United States. So it makes it, this is real, folks. This is a real national problem. Back with more in a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
New York Times piece said, please pray. Santa Fe is a town that has long found comfort in faith. And they talk about the fact that these football games, that there was prayer going on. I actually, and this, like I said, it makes it for real, folks. This is the brief that I file on behalf of, I mean, there you see it, the Santa Fe Independent School District. I mean, there it is. So these school shootings are real. They're, you know, all of us now know people in communities or have lived in communities where these shootings have taken place. Now it's reached the level where, as a lawyer, I've represented this very school district that was subject to this. It was a complicated case in that the issue was whether the school engagement with the prayer activity was problematic, which the court found that it was problematic. But the court also went out of its way, Justice Stevens, to say that there is nothing in the Constitution that prevented students from praying before, after, or during the school day, and that prayer activities continued since that Supreme Court case. But having said that, there's a target issue here, and I want to say this. Schools are a target. I mean, I think I'm going to talk to our director of policy now, because and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, but schools are a target, and we have to be aware, Harry, that the target is not hardened enough. And what I mean by that is that it is, look, you, to get into an airport now, you've got metal detectors, multiple checkpoints. We have none of that in the public schools, and I know it's an issue of money and funding, but I think money and funding can be found to get this done. But your thoughts?
Absolutely. So people in the United States increasingly live disconnected lives. Disconnected individuals increasingly target public schools. So since schools are indeed a target, we need to focus on hardening the target, and that should include metal detectors, limitations on access. We should increase the number of armed guards and consider arming a select number of teachers. We need to put killers and potential killers on notice that our children are off limits.
All right, so let me ask this to the parents that are, I'm going to talk to Logan and to Than about this, because I think it is a hardening of the target. I think the target, when I say the target, and this is not being dramatic. This is fact. The schools have become a target. We've had a number of these. This one, they all hit close to home, as I said. But this one, I mean, I represented a school district at the Supreme Court of the United States. So this isn't some, you know, case that's tragic and horrible, which it is. But this is one where, you know, for me personally, I will tell you the impact it's had on me. When I got word of this, when I was over in Israel, that this had taken place, I believe it was on Friday, Will? Yeah, it was on Friday. So it was my last day before we were leaving on Saturday. And they said Santa Fe Independent School District, Santa Fe High School. And I'm thinking, Santa Fe High School? I represented Santa Fe High School. I represented the Santa Fe Independent School District. So that, you know, makes this, this is real. But again, I want to go back to I'll go with Than first, then to Logan. Than, I say you got to harden the target, but let's talk about your kids are in that school zone. What is your sense of what needs to happen?
Well, in my view, the target needs to be hardened as well. But, Jay, I think the 2 points that you just made have to go together. The parents of the individual school district have to be able to choose how that target gets hardened. Harry mentioned a lot of options. You could have it look like airport security. You could have armed school personnel. You could reduce the entry points. Jay, I think all of those are possible options. But when a parent drops their child off in the morning, I think they need to be the ones comfortable with the security in place. So, you know, if Logan's dropping his kids off, I'm going to drop my kids off. We want to know that we have made the decision to secure that school. You know, my proposal is that we provide a federal and state grant share program, and there would be a list of criteria that local jurisdictions could choose from. Not anything, the dollars couldn't be used for just anything. But then, Jay, it would be the school district and the parents who are dropping their children off who would allocate those funds. To me, that's the most effective way to meet it on a community by community level.
Well, I do think local control is very important on this because every school system is different, every school building is different, and this is, you know, you've got to tailor it. I like the idea that I'm going to explore that more with Than as we go on, but tailoring it, because this is, Logan, you again, because you've got kids in these in schools, this is, what do you see as what you want to happen? I want to know. I mean, I would as a grandparent want to know that there is, that the school is as secure as an airport.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. You know, my kids go to school where there is armed, you know, guards and protections. That definitely at least alleviates some of your thoughts. But, you know, you've seen that actually in these other school systems where they have had some of that in place. It is more, maybe you said, like checkpoints or more security going in. You know, my son has come home and told me they've had to do what they call evil intruder drills.
Yeah.
And it's a weird world to live in.
I want you to say that again. And listen to what's going on in the schools right now.
Yeah, so much like they do a fire drill or they do a drill for, you know,
tornado.
Or a tornado, a storm drill, they'll do what they're calling him, who is, you know, essentially an elementary school student, evil intruder drills, which is where they essentially lock down the school and they have all of these procedures that they go through for the teachers and for the students. And you become very aware that your kid is very aware of what's going on at a very young age, any age you would not expect this. I'm not talking about a teenager here. I'm not talking about high school. No, I'm talking about some, essentially, barely not a baby. It's a pretty interesting world, and it's hard for me to come up with a solution that sounds right without going to going through some personal struggles of dealing with how this all would work out. But yeah, let's take some calls.
Yep.
Let's go to Stephanie in Florida on line five.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Go ahead with your comment.
Hi. Well, we have kids in the public school, and I've been a teacher in the public school. Our public schools, some of them have police substations at them, which are very helpful in deterring crime. But also, we've been questioning for so long why our amusement parks, our airports, our government buildings are more secure than our schools. We need to have bag checks. We need to have metal detectors. We even at our high school have to have our ID checked to get into the school parking lot during school hours. So I think that would be helpful at the gate of every single school if there was a guard to even check parents' vehicles as they came in.
So one of the things, I've been in airports this last week, a lot of airports, and I will tell you the security, both domestically but especially internationally at the airports, is very tight. Now, here's the situation. From a gun law perspective, there was not, I don't know of a gun law that you could have put on the books that would have stopped this, because this was not it wasn't an assault rifle. It was a handgun, Harry, and a shotgun. So again, I think what Stephanie's saying is really correct. And that is the focus has to be on the facility itself.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we should ensure is that we should ensure that Than's proposal, that the program, whatever the program is, be tailored to local conditions is the appropriate approach. I think it's clear that local conditions may indeed vary, but yes, we need checkpoints. Yes, we need bag checks. Yes, we need to limit access, but we need to focus our attention on hardening the target. Why are government buildings safer than public schools? That's a question that demands an answer.
Well, I think I have sort of a short answer to that. Some she mentioned theme parks. I was in the theme parks last week, and you do now go through airport style security, especially when you go
metal detectors,
and depending on where you go. But I'll say, of the two major brands that are theme park entertainment, one of them does full bag checks, random selections for security, random selections for metal detectors. Most adults go through metal detectors. The other one, it is full on airport style security. You have your X-ray scanners for your bags. You have people going through all of this, because here's why: they know if anything goes wrong.
Yep.
If there is one of these kind of attacks at one of these parks, you know what happens probably to those parks? They probably go out of business.
Because you're talking about the major theme parks.
Major theme parks, because you're talking about, that's their livelihood, is make sure people feel safe and comfortable in their environment. The problem is, we don't have that same kind of respect, oddly, for the schools, because this is a private business looks at this and go, we can't have this happen. Because if this happens, guess what happens if something happens at one of these major family destinations? People don't go. But the problem with schools is
you have to go. Right. So this is, I think this is a valid point. I mean, the idea that you would have metal detectors, well, people say that's going to make it longer to get in. Well, get more metal detectors, okay? Get more security personnel. There are a lot of retired police that would assist in checks in the morning and the afternoon. And also, there's a lot of ways to do it, but we can't ignore this. This is a target environment, unfortunately. And that is what has me so concerned here. And you could pass all the gun laws you want, but it's not going to stop this. So how do you stop it? You've got to figure out ways to harden these targets, just like an airport or a courthouse. I think it was one of the folks on Facebook said, you want to try this, going into a courthouse with a weapon? You generally don't, because why? They have security you now go through. And again, it's cumbersome, and it could delay, entry into the schools. But I think you've got to start figuring out the local ways in which to handle this, Harry.
Absolutely. And I also think we also have to keep in mind that individuals, for instance, like the Santa Fe killer, he was interested in killing people, and he really didn't care whether he killed them with a gun or through explosives.
Yes, he had explosives.
So that suggests that we have to broaden our focus, and we have to give the local governments the tools in which to do that.
And that's why the target is the critical. I want to focus in on the target, the school, unfortunately. And this is the reality. And it's a real reality for us. And I think this one, they all hit home, because people in the area. But here it is. The Supreme Court of the United States, I represented the school district. So let's figure out, in the American people, we've got to get together and figure this out. We can't have this continue. We'll be back with more in a moment. You're cool.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're talking about the school shooting in Santa Fe. If you're just joining us, this one, they all hit home because we've got kids and grandkids. But this one, I represented the Santa Fe High School before the Supreme Court of the United States, the Santa Fe Independent School District. So when the New York Times ran the piece over the weekend on Please Pray, Santa Fe is a town that has long found comfort and faith, I represented them before the Supreme Court of the United States. We're focusing on the fact that you've got to harden the target. The target is the school. And we hardened the airports as a target because the airports were a target. But now we're taking it a step further and saying the schools are a target. And Harry, I want to go back to this. There's not really a gun law that would have been passed in this situation that could have prevented anything.
Absolutely.
Especially this guy was willing to use explosive that you could buy the device, the chemicals for this anywhere.
Even pro-gun control advocates admit that virtually no gun law would have prevented this particular tragedy. I think the real issue is this individual, the Santa Fe killer, was focused on killing his classmates. And so I think we have to come back to a clearly obvious point. We have to harden the target, and we need to come up with collaborative efforts with the help of parents, public safety officers, law enforcement at the national level. We need to come up with innovative solutions, and I would argue that no solution should be placed off limits, at least for purposes of consideration.
Dan, what are the discussions going on? This just broke, obviously, on Friday. What are you hearing in Washington?
Well, unfortunately, Jay, much like every other time, the various sides retreat to their corners. And I think what Harry just said is exactly what has to stop happening. Every option has to be on the table. People on both sides of the aisle have to be willing to discuss things they haven't been willing to discuss in the past. And look, I want people to think about something that Logan said in the last segment of the broadcast. He said that our schools are sort of the last soft target when it comes to mass gatherings in our society. I mean, all of the others, amusement parks, airports, courthouses, Jay, they're all hard targets. Why is the place that we drop our kids off the last remaining soft target when it comes to mass gatherings in this country? I think that's where it's got to change. And then, Jay, I'll say this as well. I'm not a big guy to send money out of Washington, D.C., but I think Washington, D.C. needs to step up, send some money back to the states, require the states to match that money, and then send that money to the local communities so that parents, within a set criteria, can choose the solution for their jurisdiction.
So when
that's a big first step.
So when you have – now, when you go to, like, a sporting event now, or if you go to a Logan, a concert, the security in place now is the same as an airport. I mean, it's checking the bags, going through metal detectors, and wands.
Yeah, and most places you go to, if you go to a large enough scale venue or arena or something like that, typically it's, you know,
20,000 people.
You 20, 30,000 people, you go through, say security, and yes, lines get long. Sometimes it gets backed up, and they tell you beforehand you're not allowed to bring a bag in anymore. You got
to
wear a clear bag
to prevent this.
Right. I mean, it's just a different. Well, you know, it's one of those situations where, I mean, hey, I've been in the carpool line where parents are getting mad at you because your kid can't get a seatbelt on. So I'm sure there are some weird moments where the principal has to think about it and the people running the schools have to think about it because of the fact that you are running on tight time limits to get a bunch of kids into one area at one time. The carpool lines get backed up. But that's something that isn't an excuse. You know, these are common issues that can be addressed and figured out if probably you add an extra 15 minutes to your schedule. It's a tough decision, tough things for these schools to make. And personally, I've seen like our schools have done some things. They've made some changes. They have since Parkland, and they continue to make changes. I'm sure they will be doing a lot during the summer.
Yep.
I mean, they took a few weeks off of school. I know when we here locally when that happened, they took a week off of school to kind of re-up everyone's security. Maybe a few days.
Yep.
And I think that's something that maybe will happen. We'll see more going into next school year.
Yep.
But, you know, when the president threw out stuff last year, we were throwing out ideas. They were saying about, you know, let's figure out short-term plan and then you figure out your long-term plan. But we never really figured out that short-term plan.
Well, that is the problem. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
All right, let's go to Michael in Pennsylvania on line one. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey.
I completely agree with you guys. I'm a father of a 14-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. My six-year-old is in first grade here in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And they've already had, I think, three or four of those evil intruder drills. Yep. And they have color codes for them. And they have certain things that they do. This is completely unnecessary, guys. I mean, we live in a day and age where, you know, divisiveness is rampant. People are backed up into their own corners. We need to protect our kids like we protect any other private and public facility. If you go anywhere from an airport or a theme park, like you guys are saying, to even a pharmaceutical business for a meeting in New Jersey. Yeah. I mean, I work from home. I got to be in and out all the time. They have ID cards and they have privacy cards that you have to scan to get into certain areas of the buildings. They have, you know, inside and out, they have measures that protect, that scan, that surveil, that are bulletproof, that are deterrents. Why don't we do this for our kids? I mean, they're sitting ducks. They're learning adjectives and verbs. And then these alarms go off and they have to, you know, be on high alert. This is completely unnecessary. We have, you know, qualified veterans, people who know how to handle firearms. We have, you know, in airports and in all of these places, like you said, they've hardened the targets. This has become the last soft target, and it's disgraceful in our society today. We, you know, they need to have one point of entry and exit. It doesn't matter how big the facility is. They can have one point of entry and exit. They need to have metal detectors. They need to have bag checks, and they need to cooperate with parents, security personnel, and veterans, as well as teachers, to have a combination of whatever works for that community in armed resources, because we cannot have our kids participating in this, you know, brainwashing and divisiveness. That's kind of...
Well, I think, look, one of the points you make I think is very important here is that access points. Now, I don't know if it has to be one access point. You could have multiple access points as long as each access point is secured. And I think that's... But I think, again, we've got to start thinking about this as hardening the target, which is the school facility and our children that are in it or grandchildren that are in it. You could pass all the gun laws you want tomorrow, you know, restrictions you want tomorrow. None of it would have prevented this. This guy was willing to use explosives, this 18-year-old. He was willing to use explosives that you could have gotten the chemicals for anywhere. So, again, I think it goes back to engaging. I would like to see actual action take place here rather than just simply talking about this. Now, Than, you brought up something already, and that is this idea of, as we're getting ready to close this segment out, of Washington allocating money for community use so that the local communities can determine the best resource available to implement a strategy that hardens and protects the schools. You can still say within that legislation, within that grant of money, here are the ideas we want to see implemented.
Absolutely. And I actually think the caller's point sets up exactly why this is my preferred approach, Jay, because Washington, D.C. will forget about this. I mean, I know that sounds harsh, but they will. 3 weeks from now, they will be on to other topics. But you know who will not be on to other topics are the parents of the children who are in these schools. So if we can get the dollars for some of these ideas out of Washington, D.C., if we can require the states to match those dollars and then send them to the school jurisdictions, the school boards where the parents are participating, Jay, what works in Manhattan might not work in rural Kansas, but the parents in both Manhattan and rural Kansas, if they had access to dollars, guess what? I'll bet you they would implement their preferred security priorities. And guess what? I bet it would be the best one for their jurisdiction.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear some great ideas and great comments coming in from you. And those of you that have kids in school, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Again, another 30 minutes of the broadcast available.
That's right. We do have another half hour coming up. If you don't get that, you can find us broadcasting each and every day on social media, facebook.com/JSeculo, ACLJ.org, as well as Twitter and Periscope at JSeculo. Phone lines, though, always are open, 1-800-684-3110. Not always open right now. They're full. But 1-800-684-3110 for your point of view and your thoughts and feedback. Again, ACLJ.org for all that information. If you need to get us archived later on the ACLJ app. We'll be right back on JSeculo Live.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Please pray. The headline in the New York Times reads, Santa Fe is a town that has long found comfort in faith. 10 are dead at a high school in the middle, right outside of Houston, Texas. This was a school district that we know a lot about, the Santa Fe Independent School District, because as all these cases, there's usually some way in which these horrible tragedies touch individuals. I'm holding in my hand a brief that I represented the Santa Fe Independent School District before the Supreme Court of the United States on our school prayer issue a long time ago, about 12, 13 years ago. And that's why that was an interesting headline to me. I was over in Israel when this took place. And as soon as I connected with me, when they said the name of the school district, I said Santa Fe Independent School District, Santa Fe High School. I represented Santa Fe High School on an issue involving prayer at a football game. The case, I don't want to get into the complications of it, but the case, the school district, the Supreme Court ruled, an opinion by Justice Stevens, school district was too involved in the prayer itself. But Justice Stevens went out of his way to point out that the students had the right to pray before, after, during the school day. And so that tradition of prayer before the football games continued. Having said that, all I'm saying that for is the context of here's a school situation where we know this touches people. I was their lawyer for this school district. So this is, again, I'm focusing on the fact that we've got to harden the target. I want to talk about that because you could have a debate, Harry, on gun control and gun legislation. But the reality is, again, in this particular shooting, there was really no legislation that would have stopped this individual from doing it unless the target was hardened. Absolutely. Because he was able to get a shotgun and a handgun onto campus and was able to get some explosive devices, I guess, near the campus.
Absolutely. So one of the things that is very, very shocking is to note the disparity in our safety approach between schools and courthouses, between schools and airports. And it makes no sense, since public schools are being targeted by these school killers, that we haven't taken affirmative steps in the short run, and we haven't thought about affirmative steps for the long run. So in the long run, it may be possible, for instance, to redesign schools to make them less of a target. But in the short run, we need to engage in expeditious action to improve school safety. We've heard from callers a number of good suggestions, and we need to implement those suggestions as soon as possible.
I just got a text from a friend of mine who's a former senior official with the TSA, Transportation Safety Administration, and he knows a lot about law enforcement. And this is what he wrote me. He said, tax dollars from local and federal governments should be allocated to harden the schools. Also, we need to establish U.S.-wide uniform security to emulate TSA in schools across the country. So let's talk about that, Dan, for a moment here, because this is something you're proposing. And I think we could work on this as from a legislative standpoint on this, because I think it's becoming clear to me that this is not a question of how do you – it's a question of how do you prevent the act from taking place. And the way to do that is to harden that target. I mean, I just don't see a change in gun laws, and there may be worthy ones to do. I'm not saying that there aren't gun control laws that aren't helpful to these kind of things. But until you harden the target, you're not doing anything. Because this was the perfect example of 10 dead. A guy got a student got a shotgun and a handgun, both legal, on a campus. Now, having it on the campus was illegal, but he got it on the campus. Why? The target wasn't hardened enough. And again, this one hits real close to home because I represented the Santa Fe Independent School District.
Well, I think your friend has it exactly right, Jay. But of course, the solutions have to come on a local level. But look, there's also a role for the federal government who has the vested authority to protect its citizenry. And we've already established that schools are now one of the primary targets we face. So whether or not it's TSA-like security with the details figured out on a local level or more of the federal grant that's passed down to the local jurisdictions, Jay, there has to be a partnership between the central government and the local jurisdictions. I think your friend's idea should be put forward.
All right, we're going to take more calls and comments, Logan, when we come back from the break.
That's right. Phone lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. And always content coming exclusively for those who watch online. So if you watch online, we continue the conversation. Again, though, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on this topic. Make sure you visit ACLJ.org for updated news, blogs, and all great information we share with you there and on our social media. We'll be right back.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. I was in Israel last week for the opening of the Embassy of Jerusalem when the news came on Friday that there had been a school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. As I mentioned, I represented the Santa Fe Independent School District and that Santa Fe High School before the Supreme Court well over a decade ago on a school prayer issue. But these are hitting close to home. And I really think the way to deal with this is we've got to harden the targets. The schools have to be less available for these kind of acts of terror. We're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say this today. The American Center for Law and Justice, actually our European Center for Law and Justice, is filing with the International Criminal Court in The Hague two briefs on behalf of the State of Israel. As you know, I was there last week for the festivities for the opening of the U.S. Embassy, which was a great event in Jerusalem. But now we're focusing in on, as we have to, in a situation like this, you got to defend Israel from these kind of allegations of war crimes. And my job is to apply the law in these kind of cases. We're doing that. I just want to let you know that we've got two briefs going in on that today. All right, we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the school shooting situation, which is a really serious situation. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go to Sherry, who's calling in North Carolina. You're on the air, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, thanks for all the work you're doing across the country for our students today talking about this important issue. I was a school teacher for 9 years. I've taught in 4 different states, and I actually pulled my kids out of school because of bullying in Washington and homeschooled them for a while. But now they're back in public school. We live in North Carolina. And one of the things that they've implemented down here in Wake County, which is the capital, where the capital is for North Carolina, yep, in the Raleigh area, is we had a gun that was supposed to be in our middle school, and they had locked down the school. We found out it was actually in Florida. The person had called the wrong place. But when our middle school principal heard of this, they got together, all the principals, I think, and what they did was they implemented in our school a buzzer system, which they have at the high schools, the middle schools, and all the grade schools now, where you have to buzz into the school. They look at a camera and see you. Then you come in and present your driver's license in the front office, and that's the way you're let in.
Now, is that for the students or is that for the parents?
That's for all the parents. So when the kids come in for the bus lines, okay, they're coming through. They go right into the school. The teachers are standing out there watching them come in.
I think that's not enough. I mean, I'm just, you know, Chair, I mean, it's just not enough. I mean, there's only so many eyes you have. There's only so many things you have. Could you imagine? Let's, I really appreciate you calling in. But could you imagine if in our airports we decided that's the way we're going to do it? We're going to have some people have to show ID. Others, though, can just go right in. Well, you couldn't do that. So I understand each school district has to have their own ability to engage this. But one thing we have to be clear on is the schools are a target. It's horrific to have to say that. But Harry, from a policy perspective, you always have to identify what the problem is. And the problem here is the schools are a target for perpetrators, whether it's students or non-students, and they're having access into these school facilities. That's the problem.
Absolutely. So we have
got to identify the problem, folks. I mean, you can't ignore it.
Harden the target. We have to limit the number of entry and exit points with respect to schools. And we must ensure that the schools have adequate resources, including armed guards within the school perimeter. And it may require TSA types of checks for each and every student, each and every day, however painful that might be.
Yeah. So then when we look at how to deal with this from a policy perspective, we talked about, we've identified at the ACLJ that we think the position here has to be, the target has to be hardened, and the target is the school. And I know that sounds coarse and it sounds callous, but that's the fact. The target is the school. So we got to harden the target. How do we move that forward in Washington into legislation if necessary, or allocations of resources if necessary, which I believe it is necessary?
Well, it's simply too easy to get into almost every school across the country, Jay. And to answer your question, I think the only way you provide an answer is if you actually get that decision-making out of D.C. Because I can just tell you, from having worked here for almost 20 years, every solution that comes out of D.C. is a one-size-fits-all. They are not good at putting forward proposals that exist and work in different environments. So I think for Washington, D.C. to lead the way on a real solution, there has to be the flexibility that is allowed by making different solutions possible. So again, my solution is to send dollars back to the states, have the states match those dollars, and then send them to the school districts to make their own decisions within a set of criteria. I think, you know, reducing the entry points, hardening, using magnetometers, all of those things, arming personnel should be on the table, Jay. But ultimately, it should be Logan making the decision for the school that his child is in. I should make the decision for the school that my children is in. What should Washington, D.C. do? They should send us resources to help us make those decisions.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's take a call. Let's go to Orly, who's calling actually from Israel on line 3. Orly is an interesting point of view and comment. Welcome.
Orly, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Orly Benny Davis from Israel. First of all, I wish you peace. I wish you love, because we really care for America. But what I'm listening that you're trying to make the policeman stronger, which is strong enough. We are trying to teach, you know, so many school students how to defend themselves in time of active shooters, because the time the police or the guard will arrive, it's too late. He will already execute some people. So we need to train the children like you do a drill for the firefighters, like we do everywhere. In time of action or active shooters, they need to go through a method of 1, 2, 3 steps. And we offer our services, and we told many statement that we can teach the children. They need to make a veteran corps to teach a defense mechanism to those children. It's not about the guard. The guard, you know, it can be killed, and usually it can happen. But we need the children to be ready. If something happens, they don't need to hide under the table. They need to get robust.
Well, look, I mean, here's. I mean, I appreciate you calling in.
That is happening. Yeah,
I mean, that is happening. And I'll let Logan explain. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I explained it earlier in the show, that they are starting to do that. They're rolling that out around schools. They are doing these drills that are
evil.
Like the evil. They have changed it for, obviously, the older you get, they make it a little easier to understand if you're a smaller child. But they are. The kids are learning how to protect themselves as best they can. But let's just be honest. I mean, this situation, it reminds me of when you guys would tell the stories about, like, the drills for, you know, nuclear war.
Yeah, you hide under the desk.
Right, exactly. This is hide in a corner and turn the lights off. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't work. So, here's the other thing. I was just in your country. I was just in Israel. And I know how tight the security is in those facilities, whether it's buildings you have to get into or whether it's the airport itself. So while I understand that self-defense is important, it's hard for a 6-year-old, if it was in an elementary school, or an 8-year-old to be able to engage in self-defense. What is possible is that the target is hardened so much that someone – doesn't mean someone can't try to take out the guard. I understand that. But it's more – you could do lockdowns. There's ways to have doors. I mean, we have in our own offices where there's multiple security apparatuses in place. But I think that training a 10-year-old on self-defense, while interesting, I don't think that solves the problem. I appreciate you calling in, though. I really appreciate you calling in. But I don't think that, in my mind, Harry, that doesn't solve it. I mean, they're already doing it, like Logan said, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Jay, I think you're absolutely correct. I don't anticipate that small public school elementary students could defend themselves right. against a shooter. We need to harden the target, which provides something that is very, very important. That provides deterrence. So in other words, we are trying to discourage schools from being targeted. That's one of the reasons why we're interested in hardening the target through checkpoints, more security guards, and perhaps arming teachers.
All right, we're taking calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's take it. I think we get another one here before the break.
One more call, then give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Tina's calling in Texas on line 5. Welcome, Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Hi. Hey. I actually live about 3 miles from Santa Fe High School.
Yep.
And I have to say that, you know, I drive right past that school every day going to work. And after the Parkland shooting, I looked over and I would take comfort in seeing that cop car sitting there in the parking lot. And, you know, it was a retired HPD officer that actually initially engaged this kid. The sad thing of it is there's so many problems.
I know.
There's more than just hardening the target.
Mental health issues are also a big part of this. Yes.
Yes. I mean, the kid was, I'm not saying that this is okay, but I mean, the kid was bullied. He specifically went there to shoot one of the girls in the art class because he had been interested in her and she had rebuffed him. And he even said that his intention was to go kill people and then kill himself, but then he didn't have the courage to do it.
Yeah. But no, look, I understand, and like I said, for those just joining us, I represented the Santa Fe Independent School District before the Supreme Court in the United States. So, and look, there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to any of this. This is where you have to be thinking outside the box. I do think we need to harden the target. I do think that I don't know, where do you set that perimeter up? I mean, that's another question. I mean, I think about that sometimes when you go into the airports, and it's still, even in the United States, getting into the airports to the facility itself can be dangerous, but... what they're doing now at sports venues is you don't get inside the lobby until you've cleared security. So anyways, we'll take more calls when we come back from the break.
That's why we got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching live, that's at 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today as we head in to the final segment of the show. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
We're talking about this tragic situation in Santa Fe High School in Texas and the killing of 10. Another school shooting. We've been focusing on hardening the target. This one, folks, Santa Fe Independent School District, case number 99-62, is a case I argued at the Supreme Court. Now, it must have been, now since it's dated 99, I probably argued it in 2000. This is 17 years ago. I represented the school district before the Supreme Court of the United States on a school prayer at football games case. And that was actually referenced in a New York Times piece. Wes Smith has joined us. He's a senior military advisor, but he also knows law enforcement from his training and has legal training as well. Wes, I've been focusing on the fact that, I mean, in this situation, I think this was the classic, horrible, classic example, and I say horrible to, as the predicate here, that there was not a gun law you would pass here that would have done anything because this was a handgun and a shotgun. But he also was utilizing explosives. So if he couldn't have done one and explosive devices, I think he could have gotten the chemicals anywhere. What's your reaction to this? You got grandkids that go to school. I know this. And you got family members that are in law enforcement.
Exactly, exactly. It's a very tragic, sad situation. Unfortunately, people who are intent on violence and killing people, they will find a way to commit violence and kill people. So there is not an easy answer, Jay, to this at all. Certainly hardening the targets would help, as you've been discussing. Think of how air travel has changed for us just in the last generation. I think we're at a point where we're going to have to limit entrances to school buildings and for exiting, emergency exits only that sound an alarm. I think we need to definitely look at it hardening the schools. It's unfortunate that we have to do that. It will be inconvenient. Just like air travel has become very, very inconvenient for us.
But people are still flying.
They are still flying.
In record numbers. So with all the security enhancement that's put in place, people are still utilizing airports to travel.
Yeah, but we're going to have to put magnetometers, I think, in schools.
Yes, I agree.
And we're going to have to look at training and arming some of the staff and teachers. I know there were two armed school resource officers at this school. One of them was critically wounded. They did try to neutralize the young man who was killing people. There is not a foolproof answer to this, Jay.
No.
We need to be proactive. We need to take steps, knowing that just like with airline safety, it's not completely foolproof, but we can do better.
Yeah,
a lot of people are commenting that their schools are taking actions. We don't want to also say that some of the schools aren't. People are posting, well, our schools have retired officers or armed guards on campus and security. Ruth just said that security is a big part of the answer. If it works in airports and sports centers, it will help at schools. Don't let anyone in without going through security. I think that's true. That should be something that's implemented. Some of this is just getting the facilities done. Like I said, hopefully over the summer, we're going to see a lot of that take place. But a lot of these schools run summer camps and have stuff going on all year long. So you never know when they'll have the time to kind of shut down. Our school system here did shut down for a couple of days to kind of at least reteach their teachers and the staff of exactly how to handle it if this stuff goes wrong, and then to add these new drills in. And that's at least a step, but it's a small one.
Yep.
Weston. You mentioned that I have grandchildren. I have 7 grandchildren. I think part of the issue is moral and sociological. I have stood over the shoulder of a couple of my grandsons and watched the video games they play. They are extremely violent. They desensitize our young people to violence. And I think that combined with how much time they spend on social media anyway, that limits their social engagements with other people.
Yeah.
I think we're raising a generation that are desensitized. Mm. And you combine that with people who want to copycat other violent actions.
Yep.
And it's a bad cocktail.
All right. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right. Moving on. Let's go to Michael in Reno, Nevada on line 6.
Hey, Michael, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
So I have a couple comments. The first, just concerning the hardening of the schools, I really think that the solution is right in front of our educators' faces. Doors have locks on them. And so if the one school's in session, the entrances, they need to be locked. And before classes move, should we be talking about junior high or high school, the halls need to be patrolled or the property needs to have a quick go-around. And we pay these administrators and these educators to not only teach our children or our young learners, but also to keep them safe. So it just seems like it'd be part of the job description to walk to campus. But that being said, I really feel that that there needs to be some sort of training program initiated for the teachers, and this should be on a monthly or even biweekly occurrence, where the signs that need to be noticed from the young learners are noticed.
Yeah, I mean, here they were, and I don't know the facts of this, so I don't like to just put the fact, they were saying that one of the coaches were bullying this kid. I don't know if that ended up being true or not. That was some of the reports. None of that justifies the actions he took.
No, I think when you look at the situation, like Michael said, for those of us that do have kids, you know, a lot of that stuff is happening, and I think there are those steps, whether it's people patrolling your campus. But sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes not enough people. Maybe it is just the, hey, you know, it's kind of like if I walk on the campus of my kid's school, I'd say a good half the time they know me. It's pretty casual. It's okay. There's, this so-and-so's dad. Go ahead. But now since this, they have upped that where I am now checking in and I'm getting my ID scanned. I'm getting an ID badge. Make everyone, every parent has a big parent ID badge they have to wear. So people are making those steps, but it's not like it's a universal thing that everyone is doing.
But then you brought up the point that we could allocate resources from Washington, but the control of it needs to be local. But I think you could have in that control, while it can be local and tailored, that there are certain prerequisites that have to be put in place. And I don't understand why that we don't have magnometers checking at every school entrance point. I mean, I understand it may take some more time, but you got to get the resources for this. The schools are a target.
Absolutely. If the federal government, Jay, was going to send dollars back to the states and ultimately to the local levels, they could set a list of criteria. You can choose between these items. If you're going to take the money, you have to use them for one of these purposes.
Yeah.
Jay, one other thing I'll say, the policies that Logan's talking about, it's so important for parents to be involved in this. I've actually had conversations with families of the victims of the Parkland shooting, and there's a significant concern there that a policy on the school jurisdiction that was specifically aimed at reducing suspensions, not keeping our kids safe, not doing a merit-based analysis, but reducing suspensions, and they were successful at it, might have contributed to some of this. So look, on a federal level, we are looking at that, but on a local level, the parents Yep. have to be involved so that the policies inside their school actually fit their school.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Let's go to Deanna, who's calling in Bowling Green, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hi, Deanna.
Hello. I agree with everything that you're saying, Jay, and I want to encourage every parent and every grandparent that's listening to you to please take action. We've had children killed here in Kentucky, and we can't leave it up to the teachers and the politicians.
Yep.
We need to go to the school board and demand that our schools be hardened, that every child be protected now. And we can talk politics later.
I don't think this is, yes, I'm with you. I don't think this is a political decision at all. I think this should be bipartisan. We should figure out. This is the United States of America. Harry, we should be able to figure this out and at least reduce the probabilities of these happening, because they're happening in a frequent number, and we are not hardening the target enough in our view. That's the position of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Absolutely. So if the private sector can secure its facilities, such as an amusement park, why can't we secure public schools? I think the answer is we can if we have the will to do so. Rather than retreating to our political silos, we need to put our children first.
And
that requires, I think, at a minimum, hardening the target.
That's no question. All right, we're going to keep developing this. Look, I don't want this to be, it's happened, now it goes away. We've got to start getting concrete action in place here. These are too frequent, and they're too costly to the American people, and they're certainly horrific for these families. And when I say costly, I'm talking about the loss of human life. It's just unthinkable. Like I said, this one, I represented the school district. It was a long time ago, but there you have it. All right, Logan will let you know how you can stay engaged during the rest of the day.
That's right. Make sure you're following us on all social options. That's on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, Instagram. You follow Jay Sekulo. Just find us, and you can find all that at ACLJ.org. Download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the Jay Sekulo Life podcast. Again, ACLJ.org.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.